what happens to a Jewish atheist who's transported to the heavenlies, then finds out God and the Bible, they're real. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, investigative reporter, and I'm here with Gary and Shirley Kivelowitz. What happens when you're 24 years old and you've arrived? Gary, what was your life like at 24?
Well, at 24, I was a court stenographer. We were living in Wilmington, Delaware, and I had really reached at that point the pinnacle of my career. We were living in a very nice, large house in the suburbs. At 24 years old, I had more money in the bank than I owed on the mortgage. We bought cars with the extra cash in our checkbook and went on vacations, bought designer furniture. But what I was looking for in life was just to be happy, and it was all empty.
Why was it empty?
Well, it was just working harder and making more money, and life had no purpose. It was empty.
Not only is it empty, you get a bombshell. Tell me about the bombshell.
Well, it was right at that point when Shirley had come into a relationship with Jesus. And being Jewish, being raised in a kosher home, being raised in the temple, the word, the name Jesus, was such a negative to me.
But wait a second. When you married Shirley, you knew she wasn't Jewish?
Well, when we got married, Shirley converted to Judaism.
Shirley, why'd you convert to Judaism?
Well, Sid, the reason I converted was because I knew that if I did convert to Judaism, that would satisfy his family and there wouldn't be a break in their relationship with their son. I knew in my family that wasn't going to happen. So my goal really, Sid, was that our children be the same. That they would know what religion they were,
and I believe that. But you changed it now.
Well, no, I really didn't, because you see, I believed there was one God. I believed that He was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus at that time. I didn't even know that was possible. But so really, I wasn't giving up anything. I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Okay, why did you switch back?
Well, I don't even think I really switched back. What I really did was I came to understand that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was in fact the Messiah that was promised. And when I came into a personal relationship with Him, I realized that He wanted to not only for us to know that He existed, but to know that we could relate to Him, that He wanted to have a two-way relationship with us.
So, Gary, did you try to talk her out of this? Mishigas.
Well, it was very difficult. She, before that point, Shirley was a very afraid lady, very scared of her own shadow, and now her life was coming together. She was becoming self-assured. Her life, by any standard, was getting better. And it was very hard for me because, number one, I was jealous because I wasn't able to do this for her. And number two, she was talking about this Jesus that was such a negative in my life. And so what happened was, at that point, I was also very disillusioned with my profession. It wasn't bringing me any fulfillment. And when I grew up, everybody talked about the American dream, that would bring you happiness. And I believed that. And here I was at 24 years old, and I had the American dream, and it didn't bring me any happiness. Certainly a lot of material things, but no happiness. And so one day, I just said, you know what, I don't want to think this way anymore, and I just started drinking. And
Were you an alcoholic before that point?
I wasn't even a casual drinker before then, and then all of a sudden, I became a very severe alcoholic very quickly. I was the kind of alcoholic that if I didn't have alcohol in me, I would pass out. But as long as I kept drinking alcohol, I could still function in the courtroom. I could drive a car, and was in that state for 7 years. At the end of 7 years, I realized that I couldn't stop drinking, and I was too proud to get help. And at that point, I started doing drugs and continued the alcohol. And
the combination of drugs and alcohol is pretty dangerous.
Yes. Looking back on it, it was very dangerous. But we're talking about now, 22 years ago. At that point, I was probably doing maybe $500 to $700 worth of drugs a week, and still drinking incredible amounts of alcohol.
Did that help?
No, it just made things worse. It made the depression worse, and I realized again that I was too proud to get help. And I was working in the criminal justice system as a court stenographer, and I looked at the system and I looked at the future of children with alcoholic, drug abusing fathers, and I knew that my children had a really bad future. And during those years of drinking and the drugs, I squandered literally all of our money. The only thing I had left was a really good life insurance policy.
Did it really bother you when you would say, look at your children, recognizing you were robbing them of any future they might have had?
Oh, I went into severe depression. I drank more, I did more drugs. It was a vicious cycle. And I loved my children, I loved my wife. And I could do nothing.
But Shirley, why couldn't you help them? You must have seen what was going on.
It was a very difficult time for me because I was in an awkward position because I had a relationship with the Lord, and now 95% of my life, my husband didn't want to hear about. And I did try to talk with him about the drinking at one point, and he just got very angry. And so I decided that the only thing left to do was just to pray.
Now, when you would talk to him about Jesus, how did he react?
Not well. Not well. And I remember one morning he was shaving, and our five-year-old Stephen came into the bathroom very innocently, and he started saying, Daddy, when I die, I'm going to be in heaven. Are you going to be there too? And at that point, I just thought, I better back out. So I backed out of the room, and I just prayed.
How did you react to that?
Well, I remember telling Shirley, if you ever bring Jesus up again, we're getting divorced. This just can't work. And I didn't want to hear that name mentioned in my household. That's how.
Why?
Well, growing up in Brooklyn, I remember getting beat up because because us Jews, we killed their God. And that's the atmosphere I grew up in. I grew up in a household where my uncles were liberated from the death camps in World War II, and they showed me pictures of people being tortured alive, and they said, this is what people, this is what Christians do to Jews. And
hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, because such a miracle happened to Gary. I mean, it's really supernatural. Be back in just a moment. Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter with Gary and Shirley Kovilowitz. And what would happen? You're Jewish, and your wife converts to Judaism for the sake of the family, and then all of a sudden, she falls in love with another man, Jesus, the Messiah, she says. And so Gary, in the meantime, he's at the top of his career. They have all the money, all the nice things, but there's an emptiness. He's angry. He's angry at his wife believing in this Jesus because of all the anti-Semitism that occurred to Jewish people. He's angry because he's jealous of his wife has some peace. He starts drinking, never drank before. He becomes dependent on alcohol. Then he goes into a drug addiction. He's really despairing. Things were getting, how bad? The worst day of your life, tell me about it.
Well, it was so bad. I just didn't want to think anymore. I remember, this is going to sound really terrible, but I remember just even buying Sterno and straining it and drinking it. It was, I wanted to kill myself. And
well, what would have happened to you as far as you thought if you had succeeded? If you had died, where do you think you would have gone?
Well, I believed that life, that when you were dead, there was no hereafter, nothing after life.
You ceased to exist.
Correct. That's what I believed. And I was looking forward to that.
Why? Life too hard?
Well, it was just too depressing and there was no way out. I couldn't, you know, I didn't believe in the Bible and I didn't believe in heaven, but I believed in hell because I had that here on this earth. Life was the worst it could be.
But weren't you a little concerned about leaving your little children?
Well, I thought it would be better for them because they would be rid of this alcoholic, drug-abusing father. Shirley would be rid of this husband who was drinking and a bad father. And the only asset we had left, since I had squandered all of our financial assets, the only thing we had left was a very good life insurance policy. And so I got in a car one day, and it was up in the Northeast. It was in New Jersey. I was driving on the New Jersey Turnpike going 65 miles an hour. I had put the car in cruise control, and I was headed for a concrete abutment, and I was happy to do that. And keep in mind, I didn't believe in the supernatural. I didn't believe in the hereafter. I didn't believe in the Bible. I thought God was a figment of people's imagination. And as I went off the road...
Excuse me, did you realize he was that desperate, Shirley?
I realized that he was very depressed and in a bad way, but I didn't realize how bad it had gotten for him.
So you headed towards this embankment.
Concrete abutment dividing the highway. It's where the highway divides, and at that point it was exit 9 on the Jersey Turnpike. Three lanes go to the left for cars and three lanes to the right for trucks, and in the middle is this big concrete abutment. Mm. And the car was headed for it, and literally seconds before it hit that, I got lifted out of the car into the presence of...
Wait a second, who lifted you?
I can't even explain it, Sid, except that I was no longer driving the car. I was no longer in the car. I was in the presence of, at that point, what I knew to be the creator of the universe, who a split second before I didn't even believe in. And he showed me the silhouette of a mountain. And he said three things to me. He said, if you want to be with me like this for all eternity, you need to start climbing the mountain. He said that the Bible was his word, and that I should start reading it. And that he said I should listen because he was going to begin to speak to me. And then immediately, I was back behind the wheel of the car.
What happened to the car while you were up there?
I have no idea, Sid, but I started laughing and crying and pounding the steering wheel. And I said, if nothing ever happens in my life again, this is enough to last a lifetime. And I went back and I clocked how far the car had gone, and it had gone 8 miles without me. And I was on my way to see my mother. My mother is in the mental health field. And I said, I can't go see her because if you tell people a story like this, they put you away. And so I turned around and I went to back home to see Shirley. And I walked in the house. Now, keep in mind, she'd been praying for her alcoholic husband for 7 years. I walked in the house. She looked...
Stop. He walks in the house. You look at him. What goes on in here, Shirley?
Sid, I just said something has happened. He is different. I realized...
What was different about him?
It was almost like a glow. I mean, he had been so depressed. He had been so down. And his countenance was lifted up. And I knew something had happened. And I couldn't imagine what. Because I hadn't seen him smile, really smile, for a long time.
What did you say to her?
I walked in the room. She looked at me and said, what has happened to you? Now, I had determined I wouldn't tell her because I figured nobody would believe this. She said, what happened to you? And I looked at her and I said, Shirley, I've been with God. Thinking that she would laugh at that, she said, Gary, I believe you. And then she said, but you know what, Gary, there's more. And of course, you know, being from Brooklyn, and I was just so arrogant, I said, more? What do you know? I've been with God, you haven't. She said, well, Gary...
Now you're the expert. From an atheist to the expert.
She said, well, Gary, the Bible says there's more. And I said, honey, I'll believe anything in the Bible. And so she went and got her Bible, and She opened to the New Testament, and I stopped her. I said, Shirley, I said, that's a Gentile Bible. I'm not a Gentile. God's not a Gentile. I'm not looking at a Gentile Bible. So then she had great wisdom. She went and she got the Bible we got married with, which was an Old Testament Bible with a Star of David on it. And I said, yeah, that's a Jewish Bible. I'll believe anything in there. And she just started to show me the scriptures from Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9, Isaiah 53. And I said, my gosh, look, it's in there, the virgin birth and all the things. And at that point, I asked Emmanuel into my heart and to be Lord. And I instantly got set free from any need of drugs and alcohol, never having a problem again, never having to go to a meeting.
But you had to drink. Drinking was your survival, your lifeline.
Sid, if you knew how much I drank before that moment, just to give you an example, every day I would drink a fifth of scotch and a couple of six packs of beer, plus all the drugs.
A fifth of scotch?
Every day.
Hold it. We'll be right back. Instantly set free of depression, instantly set free of alcohol, instantly set free of drugs, but there's more. Be right back. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter with the Kavilowitzes, and before we go back to this amazing miracle, and it gets better, I mean, you think that was something being caught up out of the automobile, and the automobile gone by itself. You need an imagination like this, but the changes that happened in their life, you don't need imagination for that. That's real. I want to go to the control room right now and find out who our guest is next week. Janie, who's up?
Sid, you'll be interviewing Lori Mallord, and this woman is a beautiful 5'6" woman, but she was 95 pounds. She's an artist, an architect, but she was 95 pounds because she suffered from anorexia and bulimia, and she used to mutilate herself. But amazing miracle happened when she cried out to God, and she could feel the breath of God, and that totally changed her.
In looking over the notes, Janie, she literally would jam her hand down her throat to vomit, and she would have scars on her knuckles and in her throat. I mean, she was really, it's life-threatening, and from what I understand, this is a serious problem throughout the world.
Well, the statistics are that 1 in 100 young women suffer from anorexia, and then with bulimia, it's at least 5% of young women suffer from bulimia.
And how about just being overweight? I mean, it's all the bags, it's all together.
Right, so that the statistics would be a lot higher.
Supernatural answers. Thank you, Janie. Now, Gary and Shirley, you don't want to see the New Testament, and so Shirley reads to you from the prophets, from Isaiah, the Jewish prophet. And what did you think when you heard this? I mean, didn't you hear this coming from a Jewish background
before? No, no. I was raised in the temple. I was raised in a conservative temple, and it was our life. And when I read the scriptures in Isaiah, I thought to myself, they lied to us. What they told us wasn't true. And so when I saw that, I started reading the Old and the New Testament, started reading it all.
Now, one of the things that I like about you is you said that you started believing everything you read, and you started praying for people. Give me an example of someone you prayed for and what happened.
Well, what happened was I just believed, because I had no background in this, when I would read it in the Bible, I just believed it. It said, lay hands on the sick and they would be healed. And so people were sick and we would just put our hands, I didn't know what lay hands on meant. I figured it meant touch them and ask the Lord to heal them. And when we did that, it started happening.
Tell me one specific person.
Well, we've now been serving God for, I guess, about 22 years. But the most dramatic that I can remember was I was preaching in a large meeting in Haiti. And there were 6,000 people there. And when we got done, the interpreter said, preacher, the power of God here is, don't you think you ought to pray for people? And I said, oh, certainly. And So we went in the crowd and we just started praying over people. I mean, disease, and we laid hands on one woman and maggots would run through your fingers. That's how awful it was. But in that meeting, a man who was blind from birth for the first time in his life saw, and he saw clearly. At that meeting, a woman who was deaf got her hearing. And in that meeting, there was a woman who was 22 years old, had not walked in her entire life, was carried in on a mat. We prayed, she got healed, rolled up that mat, and ran around the meeting for hours.
Shirley, you've been healed. What were you healed of?
Well, Sid, I've been healed of a couple of different things. I've been healed of hernias. I was scheduled to have surgery, and before the date of that surgery, a friend invited me to a service where there was a Catholic priest who had a healing ministry, and I thought, well, Gary had said to me, you know, if you got healed, he said, I guess I'd believe in God, you know. So I went to this healing meeting before he became a believer, and I was healed. I
mean,
instantly.
Did you go back to the doctor?
I did, and you know, they have a convenient way of explaining away miracles. But I know that I was healed because hernias don't just go away. And I had at least two, and they were very painful for me. And I was scheduled to go for surgery and never went. I canceled the appointment, and, you know, I just never went. And I'm fine. I have no hernias. I was healed of varicose veins.
Well, most important, I want you to look at your husband for a second. Mm-hmm. And tell me what he's like today as opposed to what he was like before. Tell him what
you
he was.
You are awesome. you're my best friend. I can't believe what God has done in your life, how he has turned you from a man who was really floundering, a man who really had a great, great need, to a man who is meeting many, many needs of many pastors, wives, leaders. Gary, you're precious to me, and I appreciate so much the gift that you are.
Gary.
And it was worth the 7 years wait.
Gary, you almost blew it. Your children, when you look at your children today and see what you could have been and what you chose.
Do you know, every time I look at Shirley and I look at my children and now our grandchildren, I am so grateful for what God has done. And giving me another chance and just to enjoy life. And you know what? Life is better than any dream I could ever dream up.
God wants to give you another chance. Yes, it's not an accident that you're watching us right now. You see, you are special. God wants to change your chaos just as he changed Gary's chaos. Are you depressed? Are you an alcoholic? Are you into drugs? Are you just feeling frustrated? Do you sense there's got to be something more? There is. If you will call out to God with a sincere heart, say, God, I've made many mistakes in my life for which I'm so sorry. Please change me. I don't like the way my life is right now. I believe that Jesus died for all of my mistakes. And I want his blood to wash away my sins. I want to be clean in your sight, God. You're too good. I want to know you. I really do. I believe that Jesus is my Messiah and Lord. And Jesus, come inside of me. Take over my life. I make you Lord over every area of my life. If you say a prayer to that effect, it doesn't have to be the exact words and mean it. It's not an accident you're watching me right now. It's because you are loved. You are loved. I mean, you are loved by God. You're special. You really are. He sent me here to tell you that.